not have done so many.
It's an incident about racial profiling. Some people think it's an incident about disrespect for
this
police.
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and
There's
over again.
There's no situation better for these children.
I'm really sorry. I had no idea that this had happened to you.
Famous Phil Henry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, although somebody better take this Yamaha board, man, and throw it away. Away.
Man, that thing, you can't even put a birthday, happy birthday in it.
Whatever that means. Oh, this is a cheap-ass board, man. No. All right? That's all I'm going to say about that. It's highly technical. But let me just tell you, we got a Yamaha MG124CX board, and I hate it. I love my Mackie. Where's my Mackie, baby? The Mac is back, you know? 877-876-PHIL, and Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry, and facebook.com/PhilHenry, and like that. Naomi Wolf is on the Bill O'Reilly show right now, and she's written a book called The End of America. Well, how is it the end of America? Because Obama got elected president, Wolf, which is what I thought you wanted to have happen, and now you're still pushing your book? Aha! So you're just in it for the money. Now then, an Ohio senator has stated that the GOP is being taken over by Southerners. This man's name is George Voinovich, and he says that the GOP is being taken over by Southerners, according to the Columbus Dispatch newspaper. In an interview with the paper, Voinovich said shrinking demographics and Southern senators are alienating his conservative constituents. He cites Republican Senators Jim DeMint and Tom Coburn as the GOP's biggest problem. We've got too many Jim DeMints and Tom Coburns. It's the Southerners. They get on TV and go, People hear them and say, these people, they're Southerners. The party's being taken over by Southerners. What the hell they got to do with Ohio, Voinovich said in mimicking a Southerner. Voinovich is not the sole Republican speaking out against the regional isolation. Minnesota Governor Tom Pawlenty is also a guy that's missing the point completely, acknowledging that last year the Republicans faced increasingly difficult competition in large parts of the country, including Voinovich's Ohio. We cannot be a majority governing party when we essentially cannot compete in the Northeast. We are losing our ability to compete in Great Lakes states. We cannot compete on the West Coast. We're increasingly in danger of competing in the Mid-Atlantic states, and the Democrats are now winning some of the Western states. Not stopping at the GOP's biggest problem, Voinovich says President Obama's biggest problem is two words, Nancy Pelosi. Now, the guy that ran for president from Arizona and his vice president was from Alaska. What are you guys talking about? Well, I'll tell you what it is they're talking about. He's kind of dancing around the solution to the problem, but he can't quite see it, because to see it means he has to admit that the Republicans got a whole bunch of retooling to do, baby, if you'll pardon the expression, retool. As in, they got to stop being tools. It isn't the Southern senators and their Southern accents that are ruining your party, Senator Voinovich. What's ruining your party, and I think you're sort of close to the answer, but you just say, oh, it's all the South. What's ruining your party might be what has traditionally been viewed as issues near and dear to the hearts of Southerners. For instance, the Bible Belt, and that would be gay marriage, and the whole thing having to do with abortion and all that immigrant thing, you know. What's alienating your party has been a traditional stand without any flexibility at all against illegal immigration. I'm not asking you to break the law. I don't want us to break the law. I'm looking for a way to, you know, solve the problem. It does take some compromise. It does take some creative thinking, shall we say. I thought that, as I've said many times, Senator McCain and Senator Kennedy getting together on an immigration policy that might have answered a lot of questions for all of us, and he was just raked over the coals for that by his own party, and they had no answers. The Republican Party has no answers at all for the issue of illegal immigration. The Democratic Party barely had any answers until along came a guy named Barack Obama, who I think essentially embraced the McCain idea, and that was to create a pathway of citizenship. And, you know, when you say that, people laugh. Oh, yeah, right. Are you going to legitimize all the people? Either you want to solve the problem or you don't. Either you want to get to the problem or you don't. What's your solution? More ice cats busting down doors. Maybe they're not even busting down doors. Maybe they're knocking politely. But nonetheless, they're pulling people out of houses, stick them in the bus, send them back down below the border. Next thing you know, they're back across the Rio Grande. Aha, let's build a fence. Well, he ain't doing that. When's the last time you heard about that fence? I thought that would be a great idea. I thought that might go a long way towards satisfying both sides. Oh, but no, we don't want to do that. Now, do we? We got stimulus money for everything in the world, but we can't build that fence. We got stimulus money for some guy that's coming out with a movie next month, which, of course, I'm going to go see, called
Thundercrack.
And yet we can't build that damn fence. All right, so Voinovich says that the problem is Southerners. No, it ain't. It's not the Southerners, Voinovich. It's the Southern style, if you will, politics of the Republican Party. And I don't even want to call it that, because I think it indicts Southerners as being not clued in. And while it might have been an acceptable thing at one time to consider Southerners not too bright, that ain't the case anymore, folks. The South is right up there, shoulder to shoulder with the rest of the country in terms of production, in terms of economy, in terms of education. Don't even worry about it, okay? And I've lived in enough parts of this country to know, man, for every redneck they got in Mississippi, they got two in just about every other place, including some places that consider themselves to be fairly well-educated. I won't mention any states because I don't want to offend anybody, but Tim Pawlenty's governor of one of them.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, you think about that, bud. So here is Voinovich. Actually, this isn't Voinovich. This is Senator Jim DeMint. He is responding to Senator Voinovich, saying the GOP is being taken over by Southerners, and he's talking on CNN.
Well, he's apparently very frustrated. He's decided not to run again, and I don't mind him taking out his frustrations on me, but the fact is, if you look at the Southerners, a lot of our elected leadership, like Lamar Alexander, John Cornyn, I mean, these folks are Southerners, and we've got probably the most constructive working members of the Senate, Johnny Isaacson, Saxby Chambliss, you look at Richard Burr, these are all contributing people. They're certainly not hurting the party right now.
You know, Voinovich, nobody's saying it, but Voinovich is being a...
racist.
He's not racist. He's being a chauvinist. He's looking down his nose on the culture and manner of a part of the country that he himself seems to feel sounds stupid. Well, yeah, when they start mouthing Republican policies, a Southern governor, or a Southern senator, rather, is going to sound stupid. And in point of fact, mouthing a lot of Democratic policies makes a lot of Southern senators sound stupid, too. You know, man, I think what we ought to do is get the hell out of Afghanistan, Iran, and try to get our ass over, you know. That sounds just as dumb as some Southerners saying, and another thing, if we get these gay, you know. On Talk Radio Network's American Morning News, Senator David Vitter responds to the comment by Mr. Voinovich.
There are a lot of us from the South who hold those sorts of core conservative values that the Republican Party, I think, is supposed to be about. And I think we've strayed from that in the last few years, and that's why we've performed so badly in national elections. So I just disagree with George. He's a moderate. He's real wishy-washy on a lot of issues.
No, the reason why you guys have strayed, if he's talking about the core values, the economic values, the economic policies, the government last, not government first, there's a lot of people that love that. There are a lot of people that feel that that's the way to go. I'm one of them. We're at a period of time where we could use that kind of economic thought. We can't use that right now. We can't use that right now. You can't use, you know, this. Let's cut the taxes and let's hope and pray that the states pull their heads out of their rear ends long enough to figure out what they might be able to do with some public monies that they've got, and let's just see what happens. You know, let's cut the taxes. If you think that this is slow right now, folks, the way the recovery is going in this country, go ahead and lay a real big tax break on people, let's say last spring, or maybe even the early part of the summer. And I got news for you. That money ain't going no place but into the bank. It's going to, or into some bank, if they can find a bank that's going to hold on to it. And not, I don't know, give it away to the Chinese or somehow just lose it magically. That money ain't going to get spent no way, no how, man. You think those banks that didn't want to lend each other money, they didn't have any money? They had plenty of money. They weren't lending money because they didn't know what rat hole they were throwing it down. You see, this is, in point of fact, the habit, this is the custom of business people. No. Sometimes, and it isn't often, but sometimes we really do need government. I don't think we need it near as much as some of these Democrats who sound just as dumb as any Southern Republican senator I ever heard, talking about how everything is, you know, we're right on the brink of the of Armageddon. Everything is just ready to topple over the edge. Oh, my God. Oh, you know, oh, dear, what do I do? We need to get some bread over there to Thundercrack, man, because, you know, their post-production costs are going through the roof. So Voinovich misses the point. A lot of those guys over there miss the point. It's a golden opportunity for the Democrats to seize the moment and to solidify their message. Are they doing it? Of course they're not. Are the Republicans getting any closer to a message that's going to get a lot of people voting for them? A little bit. You know, I think that Romney made a few moderate noises. Jeb Bush, you know, people laughed. They thought, oh, how dare they? They don't know what they're talking about. Rush Limbaugh weighed in. He said he knows the heart and the soul of the conservative. He may. But I would ask you, Rush, or anybody else that considers himself a conservative, go out and do a head count. Just count how many conservatives you got. Start there. Don't tell me the poll numbers from Rasmussen, okay? Polls, the only thing a poll tells you is, you know, which way to Warsaw. No, the only thing a poll is going to tell you is how confused on any given day the people responding to it are. You go out there and you count, and I don't care if you got to go door to door, you count how many conservatives you got. And you go ahead and you count how many independents you've got who are going to go Republican next election. Ask them why. Let's start getting a little science into this thing. Quit talking in atmospherics and in hypotheticals. Let's figure out exactly the number. Because I got money, man. I got a year's salary that says you ain't got enough conservatives piled up to get anybody elected governor of Utah, let alone the whole shooting match. And Utah ought to be a cinch.
Yeah, they got all those women with the buns on their heads.
Right, they got all the women with... What do you mean, the women with the buns on their heads?
You know the ones.
That ain't the same ones, okay? All right, so that's Senator Voinovich, as he says there's too many Southerners. There ain't too many Southerners. There's too many people that think like Southerners. Maybe that's what you're going for, Voinovich, but whatever it was, you got it wrong. Thank you very much. Phil Hendry Show, once again, clarifies things for one and all, including you, Rach.
Yay!
All right, thanks, Butch. All right, our number here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We come back. A new study says organic food is no more healthy than non-organic food. How did you start eating healthy, guys? I'll tell you how I started eating healthy. How I started eating healthier, and that was... A woman suggested the idea to me. Basically, chicks know everything, man. 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Hey, if you head on over to our website, it's philhendryshow.com. You can see live streaming video of our show right now. Every night you can watch me as I go through on air and off air. I go through the angst and suffer the slings and arrows and you know, all the other experiences one has when one does a radio show. The joy, the thrill of victory, the agony of
your feet,
the agony of my feet. And anyway, check us out. We're in live streaming video at philhendryshow.com, live streaming audio, and as well, we have downloads available of the show the next day. You can listen to it on demand. You can watch the video on demand. You can go to one of our great affiliates that carry our show across the country, and you can check out the affiliate list that we have there for you. It's a very, very convenient way to access all things that are Phil. Okay, our number 877-876-PHIL. I had Corinthian hanging patiently on the line from Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're back, Corinthian. It's all yours, man.
Well, I had a question. I'm kind of out of touch with the world. I don't have internet, and right now I am unemployed. But you're kind of my touchstone to the world right now, so I had a question for you. This health care reform, some of the fine print in it, and I could go through some of it if you want me to. There's $1,000 fine if you don't take the insurance. Is that I believe there's an elderly counseling, end of life counseling. What my question is some of these things.
Well, what you're looking at, what you're looking at there, Corinthian, is the bill. None of this has been passed yet. And I dare say that a lot of this chicken crap you're talking about, $1,000 fine, that the purpose of that is to make sure that you take the insurance, because the lack of insurance on the part of some 40 to 50 million Americans has caused a rise in the cost of health care for the rest of us, because those people need to be treated. So they're generally treated at places that they can't afford. And so insurance companies and hospitals have to eat the cost. And guess who that gets passed along to? You got it, you and me. So why don't we just insure all of them? That's why there's that $1,000 fine to encourage people to take the insurance. The elderly counseling at the end of life, I don't know. These are things that are provided at a lot of other national health care programs. And the cost of that, I don't know whether that's a prohibitive or not. It sounds like it could be a good thing. I think we'd have to look into that. I can just tell you, I said to a caller the other night, and he got it up in my face about it, the National Canadian Healthcare Plan that is often talked about, Corinthian, I'm sure you've heard this, right?
Yes.
You've seen the commercials.
Yeah.
The National Canadian Healthcare Plan, if you talk to people who've had critical care, who've had life-saving care, who have had a serious, serious physical condition, they are taken in immediately. They are provided with surgery. They are provided with post-op therapy. They are provided with a hospital bed. They are provided with their medicines, their prescriptions, everything. The people that tend to bitch and complain are the people that think they should be at the front of the line because they happen to have a condition that they think is really serious and life-threatening, but in point of fact is not. The guy brought up a case of a friend of his that got his face busted up at the job, and he didn't get into surgery for 3 days. What the guy didn't know was you got to have MRIs, you got to make sure that other procedures are conducted before anybody can put you under the knife. You got to make sure that the doctor who can do the surgery is available, the doctor who does the cosmetic surgery is available, and it is not a life-threatening condition. Is it painful? Yes. Does it hurt? Yes. Does it suck? Yes. Are you going to die? No.
Well,
so
I do
3 days.
That, but one of the questions I have is like, why are they in such a rush to push this through Congress before the recess? Are they afraid that people?
If you call 60 years being in a rush, then okay. But for 60 years, we've been talking about this in this country, reforming health care, Republicans and Democrats, at least 60 years. And Obama has said, and look, it's a priority for him, just as other presidents have priorities. And presidents will say, I want to get this done. You clowns are going to get it done. I don't care how you do it. You can stand on your head, do whatever you want. I want it done, and I want it done now, and let's go. And so he gave him a deadline. You know, the Congress can say anything they want to Obama. They can say, you know what, pal, take a chill. We're not going to get to it until next year. So that's just the way it's going to be. And he can get upset and he can get pissed off and he can hope that his approval ratings go up so the American people back him up. Or as things are going right now for him, they ain't looking too hot. Congress may have the public on their side. So this is the dance, man. This is the political dance.
Yeah. Well, and one more thing, if I can hold you for another second, is as far as the stimulus package goes, trillions of dollars being spent on that. As far as locally that I've heard of on our local news for the stimulus, there's a lot of things that really bother me. Like locally, a county across from us, they were given, I believe it was $125,000 for the schools, but they weren't allowed to use that money to hire teachers. They're only allowed to use that money to hire consultants for the schools. And it just makes me wonder, all this money.
Here's what I wonder about. And you should be wondering about this, too. Who's telling you this news? Where are you getting this news? Who are the people that are telling you these things? What news organization? What is their editorial opinion? What is their agenda? Before you ask why Obama's this, that, or something else, wherever it is you got that information, I would question that source. I'd get another source on that. And I would make sure that what you're hearing is exactly what you're hearing. That's the first question every American should be asking themselves these days. Corinthian, I appreciate your call very much, sir. And it's a good call because, and he brought up something, as you guys know, this is the thing for me. We got too many people saying, now I heard on the news today that Obama's growing a tail. How dare he grow a tail? Well, now, before we accept the fact that Obama is growing a tail, or maybe Ann Coulter has got wings or whatever, because now I can hear people saying, oh, you said Obama's growing a tail. Do you think he's a monkey? No, I don't. I would question who you heard that from. What's their source of information? What's their, you know, are they getting their facts straight? Or are they just another bunch of bullcrap artists trying to confuse us even more than we are? All right, coming up, Roseanne dresses as Hitler. Can't wait. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here. In the time we have remaining, we really want to get to some more phone calls, but I want to talk to you about the latest here. Organic food has no nutritional or health benefits over conventionally produced food, according to a major study published on Wednesday. So eating organic food has no major health benefits over conventionally produced food. What do they mean conventionally? The conventional way to produce food was to grow it or to raise it, you know, from the time it was a little tiny steer to, you know, it's just smoking away on the grill. A systematic review of 162 scientific papers published in the scientific literature over the last 50 years, however, found there was no significant difference between organic food and the crap that you buy in the store in a box. How dare they?
Man, I waste a lot of money trying to buy an organic.
You never bought organic, you fink.
Yeah, I did. I went and I got a milk. What is that milk?
You talking about soy milk, man. That tastes like it came out of someone. Well, I don't want to say what part of a human being that it came out. That's what tastes like me.
Well, I happen to like soy milk, okay?
Yeah, and you talked me into it. And now it's no way even better than the other kind.
That's not true, man. Do you want to be fat? Then don't drink regular milk. Drink soy milk. Or get on Metafast.
Yeah, you just got in a plug on Metafast.
Oh, don't get pissed off, man. This is telling you, go ahead, eat your stinking Twinkies, man. You're going to feel better. 877-876-PHIL. I was saying last segment that every time I've ever made a change in my life, in my diet, it's always been it's been a woman who suggested. In other words, you know, honey, I really love you, but you, boy, God almighty, are you a beast. How about losing some weight? I don't know how to do that. Well, here's one thing. Try eating apples instead of shoving Hostess Twinkies into your face. Oh, okay. Thank you for that piece of health advice. You're welcome. No, but you know what I'm saying. I bet you, of all the men that are listening right now, anytime anybody made you've learned anything about getting healthy, it was probably your wife or your girlfriend. Or your boyfriend.
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to go to a phone call, and we got Pastor William Rennick, I understand, is hanging on the line here. James in Louisville, Kentucky. James, what's happening tonight?
Hey, how's it going, Phil? I got a
real good man.
I want to bring up. I got
you
a,
blurbed.
A little blurb that happened in the local news has some people protesting all the things going on with the health care and everything.
Oh, really?
The problems and all the stuff that how Congress is fighting this and Obama's fighting that. And the blurb she quoted was she wished.
You say
that
blurb? You're not talking about that kind of blurb. You're talking about a blurb in the newspaper.
No, this was on the media news, local media news.
Oh, okay.
She was being interviewed.
All right, okay.
She made a comment that she wished President Obama would spend as much time on health care for millions of Americans as picking out dogs. He spent a couple months picking out a dog for his kids, and, you know, hopefully he'll spend as much time on health care for millions of Americans. I thought it was kind
well,
of
Well, I think, I, that, well, it's funny, but it's unfortunately humor that, it's fun. I guess it's funny, but it's not really accurate.
Yeah, it's not
really accurate.
But another thing you were talking about.
I think it falls under the heading. Frankly, I think it falls under the heading of cheap shot. You know, as in like this. That's a cheap shot. You know, when you said blurb. But anyway, go ahead. What's your other one, man?
The other one was about immigration. You were talking about the problems with all the immigration and everything, and I agree with you. Something definitely needs to be done. They lost track of what was this wall going to do if it was even capable. Within the last year, we had an individual, a young man, I could say a young man, an adult, caught and molested several children, got arrested for it, found out he was illegal. Well, INF came in and deported the man before he could be prosecuted. Less than a month later, they arrest this same man under a different name on the outskirts of Chicago. So they're trying to extradite him back down to our area to hold him up for these charges here. And it's like, this is happening, and why is something not stopping to do this? But people are, if you're catching them, getting them out of the country, but they're getting right back just a week or so later, and it's a joke to them. And
are you telling me that immigrants are a major source of crime in this country? Because the statistics don't bear that out.
No, I'm not saying a major source. I'm just saying that once they are found out and caught, if they're caught for doing a crime, they get deported, opposed to doing time for the serious time that they should be doing, or they're getting deported.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah.
Crime again. And it's like,
I agree. I agree. They ought to be. Yeah, they should be thrown in jail. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they should be deported. I think they'd be. Yeah, they ought to be. But you know, I appreciate all of that, man. Something ought to be done. You know, something ought to be done about a lot of stuff. The immigration issue is back burner now, man, because we can't get any agreement going. You know, I got to tell you something, and I thank you very much, James, but this goes to the point of what James was talking about. And I'm not trying to pile on Republicans, so please, when you cease to be a party of initiative and you are simply there as a roadblock and you're simply there as a pothole and you're simply there as a burned out fire, a spark plug. In other words, all you're doing is impeding and you're not really helping to solve anything. And I know there's a lot of people say, well, the Republicans came up with a perfectly good stimulus plan, and this would include tax cuts. All right, okay, but, you know, it didn't get it's a stimulus plan, which is basically what the Democrats wanted, and you guys think you deserve the Congressional Medal of Honor because your stimulus plan includes some tax cuts and other things that would further stimulate as opposed to, you know, the philosophical difference you have with the Democrats. The fact is you guys were in on the stimulus, too. You believed in a stimulus plan, too. Don't tell me that your stimulus plan was nothing but tax cuts because you know and I know that that isn't true. And all, it just seems to me, and I'm speaking from the heart here, guys, because I voted for a Republican in 2004, and I voted for a Democrat in 2008. So I got, as they say, I ain't got no dog in this fight. In fact, if it's Michael Vick's house, my dog ain't even getting out of the car. Although my dog probably drove the car to the dog fight, because if I went to dog fights, I'd probably be too drunk to drive.
Yeah.
All right. But the point is, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. The fact is, if you are only there to impede what you think is bad policy, you're not doing anybody any good. All you're doing is stopping a program or a piece of legislation because not everything is in line with the way you think things ought to be, but you can't articulate what that is. You don't like the solution to the immigration problem. Well, what's your solution then? Put up the fence. All right, we'll put up the fence. What about the ones that are here now? What do you want to do there? Go into every single home, every single town, every single hamlet, every single village, every single doghouse, outhouse, chicken coop, you know, like Tommy Lee Jones and a fugitive, and arrest all of them and ship their asses back. Okay, how much you think that's going to cost? Anybody got a ballpark figure on that? See, my point is simply this. The Republican Party is now an obstructionist party. I'm sure that the others have said this. That is what they're doing. They are obstructing, and they're not initiating. And they're embarrassing themselves with a lot of... And I'm telling you, if you guys could get your act together, you'd be able to really exploit the Democrats in the next election, because the Democratic Party right now itself is not all that unified, and it still is being led by an individual who I think is not, she ain't good for this country in the House of Representatives. That's Nancy Pelosi. She's just not good for this country at all, and neither is that guy Reid. As much as we may like Harry, you know, one-on-one, they ain't doing nothing good for this country. But then again, right now, neither's Mitch McConnell. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Want to get on the line here, Pastor William Renick, before we close out the show tonight. Good to have you, Pastor. I'm sorry I went on so long, but I know you wanted to make a comment.
I want to make a comment, Phil. First of all, I heard you saying not too long ago. This got nothing to do now with talking about the stimulus package.
Right.
This has got to do with the comment I heard you say about Obama having a tail. Now I know you said you were kidding.
No, but I wasn't even referring to what you think I'm referring to.
No, you I heard you explain you're kidding. And I think a lot of people say they're kidding. A lot of people are going to say, oh, you know, I said that Obama got a tail. I'm only joking. Well, you might be joking because everybody knows that a man, you know, in truth is not going to turn into a vine-swinging monkey. But the reference to the monkey, the reference to him being a monkey.
No. You missed it. I didn't say that. I don't know. He could have been white, I would have said tail.
No. I know the code. This is code. It's code for Obama being a monkey. I heard you say it. You said a man got a tail. And Phil, I would never say that you were racist, but to me it's...
Oh, come on, will you, Pastor? I didn't mean anything about that. I was making a point about something that would be impossible.
Okay, well, what was the point? Yeah, you don't remember, do you? All you remember was seeing Obama the year going from vine to vine, going from weeping willow to weeping willow. And I bet you in my mind...
No, you got it all wrong. That's not what I was saying. That's not what I was thinking. I was thinking about something that would be an impossibility, and I just came up with Obama growing a tail. I could have said Biden growing a tail.
Yeah, but you didn't say Biden growing a tail. You didn't say Biden growing a tail because the idea of Joe Biden growing a tail ain't something that's going to come in. You don't think about Joe Biden growing a tail. If you think about Joe Biden, you're thinking about... You know what you're thinking about?
What?
You're thinking about Tarzan. You think about Joe Biden. You think about Obama. You're thinking of cheetah.
You look, Pastor, you need to calm down.
Would you tell me to calm down? I heard you say on a radio station I'm listening to right now, to come out of that radio. Let me, y'all get Clara in here.
Yeah, get your wife Clara, because I happen to know she's far more sensible.
The man say Obama going to tail. He was not talking about what you said he was talking about. Oh, man, there she go again. Boy, you love to shank me in the back, right? I get on a radio station with Phil Henry. You know that it's what I'm talking about, Dad.
Clara, can I talk to Clara for a minute?
You want to talk to you? Yes, Phil.
You understood what I was trying to say, right?
Yeah, I told him. I said, you fool, you're going to get on the phone, you're going to call Phil Henry. And you're gonna make a complete and total horse's hind end out of yourself.
You know that man said tail.
He was not talking about that, you fool.
Give me the phone back.
No. And Phil, one other thing. We're gonna have our festival gonna start at 10:00. I know I want you to be at 11. You be there at 10.
Yeah, I'll be over at the Joyful Union at 10 on Saturday, right?
Yes, yeah.
Give me the phone. The man said tail. You saying you didn't say tail?
Not the way you thought I did. Okay. And for you to assume that, and all the years...
How you doing?
What is that?
Hold on. Ryan Warren, have you ready?
Yeah, give me a... If you don't mind, if you got... Phil, I'm just ordering some dinner. You mind?
What, are you in the car?
Yeah. Claire said you want to get a milkshake. Sue me.
I just wanted something to drink, Phil. Get in.
Yeah, listen, hey! Hey! Hey!
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You got that? Give me that frosted milkshake.
Are we on the radio right now, or are you going to be ordering dinner here? Because I got to... Take a break, okay?
That's just one thing. Give me that frosty shake you got. What you call that? Hey, kid.
All right.
Yeah. Give me that frosty shake.
Hey, man.
Yeah, and I want to get a... What do you want? Get the taquito, too, you know? Anyway, Phil, the man, you know, I know you to be a good man.
All right, you're closing me at 747. Thank you.
Give me that again, huh? I didn't hear that. What did he say?
All right, you're closing me at 747.
747? 747 for a lousy, stinking milkshake? You thief!
Are you done? Because I got to take a break now.
No, I ain't done. No, I ain't done by a long shot. Now, the man said to me...
Hey,
what's up? Hey, is Ruby here tonight? Hey, Ruby working tonight? You won't tell me Ruby.
Ruby ain't going to talk to you.
Just a filler. Hold on. I want to know if Ruby's on. Too late.
You know what? I got to hang up, man.
What?
I got to hang up.
Okay, man. You know, every time I make a good point, all you want to say to me is...
Yeah, thanks.
Give me some napkins, too, huh? Where the hell Ruby at? Phil, all I'm saying to you is when you say tail, and you talk about tail around me, there's only one tail that I got, and her name's Clara.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Thank you very much. I'm Pastor William Rennick. Join me this weekend at the Pet.
He's very sweet.
Yeah, he's sweet, all right. All right, thank you very much, Pastor, and thanks for further confusing something that I said that was very, very clear to my listeners and myself, except for you, you gimme a frosty. 877-876, fill the number, back with our stories we couldn't get to right after this.
Hey! Hey! Where Ruby at?
Phil Henry.
Growing a tail.
And it's time now for the stories we couldn't get to on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for tonight, this Thursday night. That means tomorrow, well, actually, it's Friday already. It's Friday already. All the more reason to celebrate and be glad. Be glad. Yes, be glad that well, we found our way out of another day. Tomorrow morning will be a new day. Even though it's a new day now, you know what I mean, right? I'm the pastor that confuses the living hell out of you. I'm Pastor Conundrum. And you can visit us here in our Harlem church. And I'm not even black. I do this radio show. A lot of people think I might be a little milk chocolate, but they're not sure until they show up at the church and I'm a white man, see? They figure, hell, I don't know what this is, but you got to be some kind of a hoodlum. And I go, no, 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 no. I have the stories that we couldn't get to. Anyway, a Mississippi car. I don't know what happened there.
Man, you better take more of the aspirin to unclog your heart.
I can take aspirin to unclog my heart. It ain't going to unclog my brain, man, okay? In Chicago, a Mississippi convict turned himself in early Thursday in the Roseland neighborhood on the 4th South Side, more than 2 days after he was mistakenly released from Cook County Jail in a paperwork snafu. Jonathan Cooper, 28, formerly of the Chicago area, was taken back into custody at 1:15 a.m. when he turned himself in at a family member's residence in the 300 block of West 111th Street, according to Cook County Sheriff's spokesperson Steve Patterson. Cooper was sentenced to 30 years in prison for manslaughter in Mississippi, for which he has served about 7 years. In January, the Cook County State Attorney's Office requested Cooper be brought back to Chicago for failing to register as a sex offender after being convicted of criminal sexual assault of a child in 1999. Good God. Last week, Cook County Sheriff's Police drove to the Mississippi prison and brought Cooper back to Chicago to face new charges. According to Mr. Patterson, anyway, when Cooper appeared in court Monday, all charges were dropped. Sheriff's deputies began searching for Cooper on Wednesday, and he was taken back into custody at 1:15 a.m. Thursday when he turned himself in at a Roseland neighborhood residence, according to Patterson. This guy Patterson's got all the news, and this guy turned himself back in even though he had a 30-year rap. He had a 30-year stretch he was looking at, and he turned himself in. Don't you think that deserves some time off? No. The guy's a manslaughter. He's convicted for manslaughter and sexual assault of a child? No. Lockport, New York. Police said a Buffalo-area tow truck driver was texting on one cell phone while talking on another when he slammed into a car and crashed into a swimming pool. How dare that car and swimming pool be there? Niagara County Sheriff's deputies said 25-year-old Nicholas Sparks of Burt, that's the name of a town, or that's his father, Nicholas Sparks of Burt. Anyway, by way of Maria, admitted he was texting and talking when his flatbed truck hit the car on Wednesday morning in Lockport. I wouldn't admit to that. Not, no way, no way, no way. Go ahead and put me in jail, but no way. I'll say I'm drunk before I was texting. The truck then crashed through a fence and sideswiped a house before rolling front-end first into an in-ground pool. The 68-year-old woman driving the car suffered head injuries and was in good condition. Her 8-year-old niece suffered minor injuries. Sparks was charged with reckless driving and talking on a cell phone. By the way, there's a study out. You probably heard it was out yesterday, and there was a little bit of it on the news today, that texting while driving is more dangerous than being drunk while driving. So thank you very much for letting that information out there. Now that every juice hound, every rummy, every juice head out there is going to go, I can drive because I'm going to text. Anyway, in Sweden, a disagreement between two bus drivers and a motorist in central Sweden resulted in the motorist seeking hospital treatment after one of the bus drivers bit him in the face. The motorist was in the left lane when the bus, which was in the right lane beside the car, started to make a left turn, forcing the car toward a ditch, according to a local newspaper. The driver of the car then followed the bus to its next stop, at which point he got out of his vehicle and hit the bus driver in the kisser. A second off-duty driver on the bus at the time then exited the vehicle and began taking pictures of the car to document the license number. Okay, you hit him, I'll take pictures of your car. Great. The motorist reacted angrily to the picture-taking bus driver, however, and a new physical altercation ensued. The row ended with the motorist having his cheek bitten bloody by the second bus driver. And that's what they do in Sweden, in case you're shocked by that. It's perfectly normal, and that's what they do. It's really great. They solve problems over there. Just let me just bite you on the face. There, we're done. In Ormond Beach, Florida, the Food and Drug Administration is testing a Diet Pepsi can that a Central Florida man claims had the remains of a possible rodent inside. A possible rodent. It could have been the remains of an actual rodent. Fred Denigree of Ormond Beach took a few sips from the can on July 23rd, only later to discover what was inside. He said the rodent was big enough that it wouldn't come out of the can. Yeah, unless it was like the world's smallest rodent, it wouldn't come out of the can. I don't believe this story. That's why I'm not reacting with disgust. I think he made it up. Pepsi officials said Wednesday they traced the can back to the manufacturing plant in Orlando and didn't find anything wrong with the company's quality control and soda sampling. This guy is trying to make hay while the sun shines. Good luck, Charlie. You're going to need it. World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. On CNN right now is Ann Coulter and Al Sharpton. Al's been doing all the talking. Ann hasn't said a word. I think she's kicking his ass. We'll see you tonight, or tomorrow night, or tomorrow morning.
Phil Henry.